Hi, this is Lori Rubenstein, your love advice coach, and we're back to talk about red flags. I wanted to give you an example of a red flag and something that, wow, it just really sticks out in my life, and it's such a lifelong lesson, so I just wanted to share a personal experience with you. When I was 25, I started dating my first husband. And he was still married, and he had two children, and we ended up all living in the same house together. It's a long story how that happened, but I basically had the basement to this house, and he and his wife and his kids had the upstairs. And after about 6 months or so, we really were falling in love with each other, and we started getting together. And he said to me, well, you know, we're separating, you know, we're not going to stay together, talking about his ex-wife. Now, I actually wrote in my journal, once a cheater, always a cheater. But then I wrote all this stuff about how he would never have done that if he didn't love me so much, and we're so meant to be together, and we're so much better together than he is with his now ex-wife also. And, you know, I started making all those excuses in my head and even on paper about why he was acting out of integrity, why he was not the person I thought he was. So fast forward to 10 years later. And now, I mean, of course, at 25, I was sort of in la-la land. I mean, I didn't really know about red flags, but I certainly knew enough to say things like once a cheater, always a cheater in my journal. I mean, it's there for posterity. So 10 years later, he cheats on me, or I find out that he's been cheating on me. And I'm like out of my mind, shocked, you know, like, how can this have happened? And what I have to say to you is, duh, really? I knew it when I went into that relationship, and I ignored it. I made excuses for it. I shut my eyes. I looked the other way. I did all the things that, you know, all of us have done it from time to time.
So here's the deal. At the time, I did not know about red flags. I didn't even know what that term was, but I did know that what was happening was wrong. Yet, I thought that I knew better. Well, what is a red flag? So a red flag is something that someone does or says that sends a signal to you that something is not quite right. You know, sort of like the flag sends the signal for the race to begin or for the bull to come forward. That red flag is out there. These dating red flags may suggest that there are issues that are worth your consideration before. And I want you to note that word, before pursuing any kind of meaningful relationship. And what this means is before you sleep with him, especially for those of you who are in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, because you know that you get hooked when you sleep with somebody. And the rose-colored glasses come on, and all of a sudden you're madly in love, and you don't even know the person. So deal with the requirements, your absolute deal breakers, and with getting clarity about the red flags before you sleep with him, before you move in with him, before you make a baby with him, and before you get married. And I have to say, you know, I might be sounding a little bit sexist. I can hear myself talking about him, but I'm a woman, so I relate to this when I'm looking at the men in my life. You cannot find your soulmate or your spiritual partner if you're busy with the wrong partner. I want to make sure you heard that, okay? If you're with someone who really doesn't work for you and you're with them because you're lonely, you don't want to be alone, then know that the real conscious partnership that you want will not come your way. You know, it's like clearing out the clutter. You have to get rid of the wrong partner in order to find the right partner. One of the most important things you can do is notice if there's any inconsistency in what they say and what they do. That's really important to note. And if you keep picking the wrong person over and over again, like you keep picking somebody who cheats on you, or you keep picking somebody who's abusive, then you know that you need the help of a professional, like a relationship coach, so that you can become the person who you want to be, who will attract the person that you want in your life. The best time for somebody to really work on their issues is outside of a relationship. So then you know that you're really doing it for you, you're not doing it for somebody else. Expecting a partner to change is a deadly desire. It is really a no-win situation. So don't enter the relationship where you say, okay, well, they smoke now, but they say that they're going to quit, and I'm sure he's going to quit for me, so I'll stay with him because he'll quit eventually anyway, because he'll want to do that for me. Uh-uh. That's just not going to work. If he does change and he's only doing it for you, chances are he'll revert back the moment you let up on him. And he'll only resent you the whole time that you're trying to get him to change. So it's not worth it. If he wanted to change a particular behavior, he would have done it already. And, you know, I want to say this especially for women in their 40s and 50s, primarily because that's the age group I work with most frequently. So I know the most about this age group. Men who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s have already been with other women who have tried to change them. They've already been with other women who have given them the litany of all the things that are wrong with them and all the reasons that they should change. So if they haven't made those changes, there's a reason for that. I went out with this guy a few weeks ago, and we were eating dinner, and I was watching him eat, and every single bite he took, his mouth was wide open. He was chewing like, you know, and it was like, an entire half an hour of watching the food in his mouth, and I remember being so amazed, like, didn't anybody tell him that he should chew with his mouth closed? Well, you know, he's in his mid-40s. I know that there are people who have tried to tell him not to eat like that. So it was one of those annoying habits that I knew would not be fun to be with on a regular basis. Okay, so are you ready for red flags? Here is a list of my top 20 red flags. Number one, this may not be a red flag for everybody. This might be a red flag for only some people. So number one, the person smells like liquor, drugs, or tobacco, and you have a requirement not to date someone who is on those substances. Here's what I would recommend for that. So you go out with somebody, and you notice that you probably have smelled this before. Like that old beer smell on their breath. And sometimes people have that because they drank the day before and they still sort of smell like that the next day. You know, it could be just somebody who had a beer the night before and it's not a big deal. So you can ask questions about it, but don't rely on their description of their drinking habits or any other addictive substance. Remember, if your date is an addict, their judgment may be impaired, and they're probably in denial about how much they drink or use drugs. Well, when you love somebody who has an addiction, you're basically in what's called like a love triangle. It's you, your partner, and whatever the addiction is. It's impossible to feel truly loved by your partner when they put an addiction above you. And I'm assuming that you want to love in a big way, not in a small way. So you might be with somebody who has had chemical dependencies in the past. And if that's the case, some addicts replace one addiction with another. For example, might be alcohol yesterday, but today now it's porn. So I do want to note that this is really different than the person who has been clean and sober for the last 8 or 10 plus years. You know, the person who has worked the program. The person who had been actively involved in their recovery for many years. I'm not talking about that kind of person. I'm talking about the person that you see in front of you who says they don't drink and they're taking a drink. I had this good girlfriend who kept attracting alcoholics in her life. And she would tell me that she's not going to go out with anyone who's a drinker. And then she would go to bars to meet men. And now she's living with somebody who is a drinker. And he was supposed to be quitting. I don't know if he quit or not. Maybe he did. But it was sort of the same pattern over and over again of being attractive to alcoholics. So there's something attractive about that for some people. You know, it might be that they're fun. A lot of alcoholics are fun. Some are dangerous and mean and grouchy, but some are really fun and the life of the party, and it's easy to laugh with them, and they're sort of free spirits and they dance. So, you know, you might be attracted to that part of an alcoholic. Just get clear, you know, if this is a requirement of yours that you don't want someone with a drinking problem, and Brad Pitt or George Clooney walks into your life and they're drinking a number of beers or any drink at dinner, say no thank you and say next. Don't act desperate by ignoring your own requirements. Number two, the person is disrespectful or abusive to others. In the early stages of dating, your partner may treat you like a queen, or for men, your partner may treat you like a king, while he or she is trying to impress you. But note their behaviors to others. This is what I said earlier about how do they treat the waiter or waitress in the restaurant. Are they rude? Do they describe other people in derogatory terms? You will certainly be their target once they let their guard down. So get out before you become the target. Number three, the person that you're going out with acts like he's victimized by all of his past partners. He may say awful things about his ex, complains about her, talks about her constantly. Maybe he's obsessed with her. You might even get the idea that he stalks her, keeps track of her, tries to control her. Does he ask his kids questions about her, or does she ask questions about him? Is there still resentment and sort of a sense of wanting to retaliate against the ex? Does he refer to her in derogatory terms, like that bitch? If you're with somebody who has like a litany of stories about their ex and how they were screwed over by them, you know that this is a major red flag, which actually leads us into the fourth red flag, and that is the person blames other people for their problems. These are individuals who can't take ownership of their problems, and they're really entrenched in the victim status. They'll eventually start blaming you for their problems too. Worse yet, there's like no hope at all of improving the situation since they won't acknowledge their part in a problem or a conflict. They might refuse to take responsibility for their part of a problem, and that is a pretty unattractive trait to have in a partner. It makes it really hard to work on a relationship when one person thinks that they're absolutely perfect and there's nothing that they can or want to do to change, even if it is to help the relationship. These people might also show other signs, so this might click it off for you. They might be sarcastic, there might be a lot of anger, or sort of a lot of put-downs, talking poorly about other people. Just notice that. Number five, a big red flag, the person cheats, lies, or manipulates. What they say and what they do are not consistent. So look for that. Honesty is really a foundation of trust, and trust is the real key to intimacy. So my advice is run as fast as you can from somebody who lies and cheats. Even if you know that they're doing it with other people, and you think, oh, they won't do it with me, You will eventually become the person who is lied to or cheated upon or manipulated. Of course, there's some people who are psychopathic liars. They're very good at this. They're very charming and very manipulative. So be aware and be smart. I once worked with some clients going through mediation. The husband was incredibly, incredibly handsome and charming and funny and just a great guy. I mean, everybody would want to be around this kind of guy. It turned out, you can only find out from the credit report what he was really doing with his life. So he was taking money and he was buying homes. He was just spending a ton of money without telling the wife about it. And she never would have known if I didn't say, go get a credit report. Something sounds fishy here. Number 6, the person has a history of many sexual partners and relationships. Now, of course, you know, when you get older, you know, you have a history. You've been through having many relationships and many partners. But it can also spell trouble on a number of different fronts. And so it's not like, oh, you've slept with 20 people, I'm out of here. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying you need to be aware of things. So one thing is you might be increasing your odds of acquiring an STD or an STI. So you want to find that out. Another thing is be aware of people with many short-term relationships, like those 1 to 2 years, because you could get really hooked into it, think that a marriage proposal is coming, but it never comes, because your date, remember they're only a date at this point, has demonstrated their inability to commit to one person, especially through difficult times and over the long haul. Here's another one, number 7. The person has a white ring line or an indentation around the ring finger area. So you want to sort of be on alert for people who are married, who are maybe pretending that they're not married. That's an obvious one, right? But other ones might be they don't let you come to their house or their home, or they can only be reached by cell phone or beeper. They don't like to be seen in very public places with you, and you never get to meet their family. Those are big red flags to look for. Another red flag is the person gets attached or they fall in love way too quickly. So people who really jump quickly into a relationship with both feet before their brain kicks in may be looking for someone to rescue them from their problems. Be sure to assess their motivation for rushing into a relationship. For example, are they a single parent who are desperately looking for another parent to help them deal with their problem child? Are they heavily in debt and looking for a sugar daddy or sugar mommy? Are they depressed and sad and they're looking for someone else to make them happy? It could also mean that they are an obsessive or jealous person, and you need to watch out for that. See if they're trying to manipulate too much of your time at the very beginning, you know, in an unhealthy kind of way. And we all want to be with somebody that we're falling in love with all the time, especially at the beginning of a relationship. If they don't respect your need to be with your kids or your family or friends. Number 9 is that the person does not want to help with simple chores. So somebody who pouts when you ask them to do something for you, like help clear the table or take out the trash, is likely to view you as a maid or hired help rather than as a partner. So in the long run, you may end up resenting that person. Also, if you stay with that person, you may become like a parent to their child, and you don't want another child. So number 10 is the person avoids discussing his or her past. Sometimes a person who doesn't talk about their past is actually hiding something, like a criminal background, a wife or a husband they never got around to divorcing, children they gave up for adoption, etc. This is definitely the attorney part coming out in me. But I do a criminal background check before I get too involved with somebody, because you really never know what you might find. Number 11, the person has money issues that are very different from your own money style, and that makes you uncomfortable. So just notice whether the person you're dating complains about money. Are they generous with money? Are they cheap with money? Do they throw money around? It's not to say that any one way of handling money is good or bad, but you have to know your own style and whether or not their style fits with your style. Remember, no matter how much you love somebody, there are still 50% of those people who are in love and getting married today getting divorced. And the number one issue is what? Money. It's not necessarily about how much money someone has. It has a lot more to do with, again, what we call the money style and how they spend or not spend. And I'm going to give you an example of that. My last boyfriend had a lot of money. He did not spend it. He would say he is extremely frugal. So So everything in his house he bought in 1983 when he graduated from college and went out on his own. He has not bought anything basically since 1983 because everything is still functional. We have in our society what's called perceived obsolescence, you know, that something is out of style or out of date, so we need new things. And I will tell you, you know, as a woman, I have totally fallen into that, you know. I mean, how many pairs of shoes does somebody really need? Well, it's something that would make him crazy. You know, what do you mean you're going to buy shoes? You have 30 pairs of shoes in your closet. That doesn't make any sense to somebody like that. So you can see, even though I'm not a spendthrift at all type of person, just spending money on something I like for the sake of getting it because I like it is not a good reason for him. And that really caused a lot of problems in our relationship. I'm always going to let you know stories about my own life. Again, you know, whenever they're instructive. Again, with him, absolutely no issues, not mad about anything. Just use this example as instruction. Number 12, the person still lives with their parents. So adults living with their parents, except for very temporary or extenuating circumstances, could show a lack of responsibility and a lack of maturity to live on their own. There is nothing that is going to take the love and romance out of a relationship faster than you feeling like you are your partner's mother or father. You know, are they looking for someone else to take care of them and then they will leave mom or dad's house? If that's your situation, run away fast. I will tell you that with my second husband, he was living at home on his mother's property. He wasn't living in the house. He was living basically in a little tiny outbuilding on her property. And I absolutely felt like his mother during a big part of the relationship. It was very frustrating for me. I guess I told myself, instead of seeing this as a huge red flag, I told myself, well, it makes financial sense. Why go out and pay money for a place when there's this perfectly good place sitting right here, and that he was so sweet and generous that he was there to really help his mom out. And he did help his mom, but anyway, I didn't see the reality of the situation, so I'm hoping that you do. Number 13, passive-aggressive or confusing behavior. The person that you're with might engage and disengage without any warning. You might have a great time, a lot of fun, but they might not return your calls. Or it takes several days to return your calls. You end up calling first because you had so much fun together, and then you find yourself in the sort of chase mode with no indication of whether or not that person's willing to be caught. So this is not courting. This is a game of control, and there's some dysfunctional interaction that's usually going on. And somebody could have mental health issues. I mean, they might not. But certainly, you feel like they're using your emotions sort of as a yo-yo, and you start questioning yourself. The bottom line is that they might be a game player, and they might not be able to commit to a real relationship. Okay, number 14, are boundary issues. So there are a number of different kind of boundary issues. When you say you need space, they get mad, and they might say something like, well, I thought we had a relationship. Don't you want to be with me? When you try to assert a healthy boundary, he might say something like, or she might say something like, well, you know, you make me feel bad about myself. Why don't you love me? If you loved me, you would blah, blah, blah. You know, you would want to be with me more. You would want to not be with your friends and be with me. They may be really controlling about your time, your friends, your clothes. They may question you in an interrogatory way or in an inappropriate way about where you've been, who you've been with, who you've been talking to, what were you talking about, trying to tell you what to wear in a demanding kind of way. Those are all boundary issues. Number 15, there is something about him or her that just plain old creeps out or unnerves your friends or family members. If you have this best friend or your mother or your sister or your brother that says there is something really creepy about him or her, listen to them. That means that there is something creepy, and you just might not be noticing it. Number 16, the person has sexual intimacy problems. Unless he really starts demanding sex on the first date, you probably won't know this red flag the first or second date, and it might take a while to learn about this. There are people who are very domineering and selfish in bed. I'm not saying that there are absolute signs out of bed that you would know this. What can I say? You know, you sort of fool around with people beforehand, right? Before you end up going to bed with them. If he starts giving you orders, touch me here, look at me, tell me what you want, you know, just like in a bossy or mean kind of way, he probably won't really be satisfied. And sex is probably not a sensual experience for him. He might not really understand how important it is for you to share feelings, to be treated gently. Sex might be just another method of proving manhood or their greatness. These are people who are also very upset when you don't have an orgasm. They take it personally. You're actually sort of hurting their ego by you not having an orgasm. There's other things like, let's say you have an issue that you don't want to have sex when you have your period, but they force you to have sex. You know, they say, oh, well, it doesn't bother me. Let's just have sex. Well, they're not respecting your needs and your desires. That's a big sign. If you're sick, you know, you don't feel well, and you say, no, I don't feel well, and they still force you to have sex, this is like, get out. You don't need that. Number 17, there might be some manipulation of you through your friends. So he might start really sucking up to your friends and trying to become buddies with them. So I'm not saying, like, being nice to them. I mean trying to really establish his own close relationship with them, which would look like a really great, neat, nice thing to do at the beginning of a relationship. And it may be. Just watch out for, is that a sign of him trying to control you? Later on, he may start to alienate you from your friends and actually prevent you from having someone to talk to about problems with him, because then the friends are like, well, I don't want to get caught in the middle. So people who are really manipulative may try to get close to your friends in order to feed misinformation behind the scenes so that they come off looking like the martyrs or the good guys when they, in fact, pull the rug out of the relationship. Another red flag that could be a red flag and could not, I've actually gone out with and married these men. It just really depends. Number 18 is he has no other friends. So he might say that he has some friends, but he doesn't really call them or see them or go out with them. Or he really might not have any friends, and it's always been that the woman in his life is his best friend, period, end of story. I really like when guys have men and women friends separate from me, because it shows that they have their own life, and they're not totally dependent on me for everything. I say that, yet the truth is I've gone out with many men who I've been their only friend, their best friend. They have acquaintances, I would say. Meet their friends, you know. Are their friends like total flakes or crackpots or emotionally disturbed people, you know? Also notice if they abandon their friends at the beginning of the relationship and don't see them anymore. You know, it's always been the big complaint that women have about other women is that as soon as you get into a relationship, you know, you don't call them anymore, you don't do things with your girlfriend. Number 19 is the person has no spine. They let you do whatever you want, and they never say the word no. They might say things like, whatever you do, it's up to you, that's fine. They also are people who don't take responsibility for their own behavior, and usually things are someone else's fault. They may blame what happens in their life now on their parents. That person is probably too wimpy for you, and you end up dumping them, because what happens is when someone's trying so hard to please someone else, especially for men, you know, the number one thing men want to do is make women happy, which is awesome. It's great. But what some men end up doing is they sell out. Women do the same thing, of course. They're trying so hard to make her happy that they're not really taking care of their own needs. They're not getting their own needs met. And then they have no spine. They have no backbone. And the woman looks at them and says, you know, what happened to you? You're not strong. And if a man doesn't have a backbone, a woman can't feel vulnerable. They could feel safe with that man will provide for them because he's too mushy. So watch out for that. You can start telling that pretty quickly in relationships. At first, it might seem like, ooh, I get to have everything I want. But it really isn't fun after a while. Okay, number 20 is the person tells you many or all of his deep, dark secrets in the first date. So this could also be a boundary issue for somebody who has no boundaries. You know, sort of like the wimp factor. It might seem like he's very sensitive and in touch with his feminine side and he's opening up to you, but sometimes it's also a manipulative trait to get you to think that you are so special that they can only open up like that to you. It could just be a technique because they really might do it to everybody. They also might use it as a cover for previous bad behavior. So like if they tell you about it, so they say to you, something really embarrassing happened to me, you know, I had this burglary in the past and, you know, I have this felony criminal record and that's why I can't get a good job and blah, 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 and I really made a mistake when I was younger. Well, they're looking at you to sort of abdicate them and say, oh, that's okay, I understand. Don't understand. Hold them responsible for their actions. I mean, yes, you know, people make mistakes, obviously, in the past. I am totally not the same person I was in any of my past relationships. So we all grow. We all change. We know that. But I'm just saying it could be a red flag. So just notice it. Their goal might be to, like, cover their tracks in case you hear something from someone else. And then when you find out about their past bad behavior, they can say, well, I told you about it. They can even use the fact that they were a manipulator in the past. Well, I told you I manipulated other people in the past, but I'm really not going to do that anymore, and that's not what I'm about now. Just be aware. So all of this is to say that people are human. People have issues. We have issues with each other, how we interrelate to each other. We all have these issues. When you go out on dates, don't ignore them. Don't talk yourself out of them. Just notice, be aware. And again, don't go forward with the relationship until the red flags are taken care of, that you really have a handle on it and you really understand what's going on.